Later today, my family and I are going to watch the Sugarland Space Cowboys take on the Bees from Salt Lake City. And I'm excited about it. I love baseball. I love going to baseball games. My children participated in this reading program that was sponsored by the Space Cowboys, and so they read enough books and they got free tickets. I love that my kids love to read because I love to go to baseball games, so it works out perfectly. And as we head there tonight, I'm getting excited. You know, it's minor league game, but I just love watching the pitcher hurl the ball 85 miles an hour towards the plate, the swing, the umpire's guttural, you know, you got to get that in there. Or the crack of the bat as you track that ball as it's sailing across the outfield, the diving catches, defensive double plays, home runs. I really love the game of baseball. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's something different for you. Maybe it's football. Maybe it's soccer. Maybe it's the symphony. Maybe it's theater. But what is it that you love to sit and relax and just watch and enjoy a performance, enjoy a game? What is it for you? And as much as I love to watch baseball, I would love it even more if I were on the field. Now, I would love it even more if God had blessed me with that raw, natural talent and ability, and I had worked on it and practiced it all throughout my life so that I could be playing ball at the highest level as a professional. I would love that. Actually, it wouldn't even have to be as a professional. I just love to be out on the field. Would you? Would you love to be out on the field, in the game, as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus? Or would you rather watch? Would you rather be a spectator? You know, sit back and relax and watch the work of the kingdom unfold before you. Like, you have this amazing message. You know this wonderful truth that the Bible conveys to you about Jesus and everything that Jesus has done for you, how he has forgiven you of all of your sins. And that means that you have an incredible peace with God that lasts from now into all eternity, that you get to look ahead. Your future is secure. You know that you get to be with God forever because you are washed clean. You are forgiven. God's grace is amazing. And you're content with that. Content to sit in the stands and watch the work of the kingdom unfold. Let others do that work. But dear friends, that's not the calling which you have received. Now, Jesus has not built his Christian church as a stadium in which there's 100 or 1,000 or 20,000 people who are sitting in the seats and they're watching the 18 or so players who are on the roster, on the field, and in the game. And Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christ has not built the church that way, but that's sometimes what we do. You know, sometimes we sit in the stands and we love it. You know, nothing's asked of us. Nothing's expected of us. We just relax, grab a hot dog, some nachos, and enjoy what we see in front of us. But dear friends, that is inconsistent with the calling which you have received. And so as we get into the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he's going to make that clear to us because he uses numerous action words. When Paul begins, he says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And Paul's going to detail that the faith that you have, your call to Christ Jesus, is going to characterize your life. When he says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort does not sound like sitting in a chair and watching. And so if you're taking notes today, the first thing you write down is that I am to live a life that is characterized by my calling. This is what the Apostle Paul wants to encourage of you. That you would live this life characterized by your calling. And so often we don't want to focus on our efforts, right? We try to avoid putting the focus on our work and what we do because we want the focus to be on Christ and what Christ has done. And when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to the peace that we have with God, that greater hope to which we've been called, amen. That is all about Jesus. It is all about what God has done through Christ for us. It is not about our works. But in this section, you're going to see how the Apostle Paul talks about your works as he builds on the foundation of Christ's work. He says, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. And that one hope to which we have been called, that is all about Jesus. He continues, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is only one God that we all share. There's only one hope that we all cling to, forgiveness and eternal life in the name of Jesus Christ. We all cling to the very same cross. In the church of Christ, we all pray to the very same Jesus. And he is the one who gives us his greater hope, far greater than anything that the world can give to us. We all receive the same incredible blessings of baptism, that we have been clothed with Christ, that we are made children of God. And because of that one hope, because of that one baptism, because of that one calling that we have all received, that means that your work is important. Your work matters. That means that you are part of the team. That means that God wants you to get in the game and play. Which is why Paul stresses that our work matters. And what we do matters. It matters for the unity of the church. It matters because God has called you into this family to realize the forgiveness of sins that you have, to see yourself as a member of that one body of Christ's family and the one church, and to make every effort to keep that unity of the Spirit. And so as we think about this, there is unity in our hope, that hope that we find in Christ, but there is diversity in our gifts. In the way that God has gifted each and every one of us to build up the body of Christ, the Christian faith makes room for us to be bonded together in this spirit, one spirit, the hope that we have, to be bonded together. And yet each of us, as unique and gifted individuals, to serve the body of Christ. But that unity, it can be disrupted. That unity can be torn apart. It can be damaged. And that unity can be damaged both actively and passively. That unity can be damaged passively when we just take a step back, when we don't engage, when we don't use our gifts in service, when we don't encourage one another, when we want to just step back and spectate and just watch. That damages the unity that God has built into his church. And we can damage and we can tear down that unity actively too. We can damage that unity when we don't come with humility, but we come with arrogance. When we speak harshly to one another, when we're unkind, when we tear each other down instead of building each other up, that too rips at that unity. Thank God that we know the forgiveness that is ours in Christ Jesus. Thank God that we know that we can turn back to that one hope to which we've been called. Thank God that we can seek forgiveness from one another. Thank God for the greater hope that covers over all our sins. And it's from that hope that Paul wants us to recognize that the life characterized by our calling is both in Christ and for Christ. And that, yes, you have gifts that you can use to build up the church. God's gift to me was not the raw, natural athletic talent to be a professional baseball player. I've made my peace with that. Mostly. But each and every one of us has been gifted. And Paul emphasizes this point. And sometimes I think that the reason that we struggle with humility, or the reason that we struggle to be patient with one another, to bear with one another, is because of jealousy and envy over the gifts that others have. We might feel inferior to others. But look at what Paul says about your gifts. As in verse 7, he says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Christ himself has measured out his gifts to you. And the gifts and abilities that you have, whatever they are, have been measured out to you by your loving Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one who's given you those gifts. And he has called you to use those gifts for the blessing of the body. That means whatever gift you have, you can use it to be a blessing for the people sitting in front of you or next to you or behind you, for the people who are watching this right now, anyone listening to it as a podcast later this week. And if you're watching and if you're listening, Christ has given you gifts to build me up, to build up those who are sitting in this room right now, that we can all build and encourage one another up. We all have been given those gifts to serve. And Paul builds that truth on the foundation of an Old Testament song. It's Psalm 68. And he paraphrases that. It's a psalm of God's victory and Christ's victory. And Paul says this, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. And then as Paul continues, he explains these beautiful truths of the gospel. Christ's ascension is a reminder of his condescension. It's a reminder that he, in humility, came down to this earth, walked in our shoes, that he lived life in our place. And Jesus didn't just bear with us in love, but he actually bore our sin, our guilt, our shame. He bore that all the way to the cross where he died for it. In humility, he gave his life for us. And through his death on the cross, he joined you and I together with God the Father in a bond of supernatural peace. Jesus descended even into the very depths of the earth itself, to the grave. And then he rose victoriously and triumphantly over that grave. Death could not contain him. He ascended into heaven. And from that position of fullness, from that position of power and might, he graciously gives his gifts to the church, and he gives them for a purpose. Paul writes, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." There is purpose in the gifts that Christ has given. And he has given those gifts to you. Christ has equipped you for service. And yes, in that list that Paul wrote, you see that there were specific roles that he laid out. But you don't have to be a professional. Paul says that God laid out those roles to equip all his people for service. You are equipped for service. Can you imagine if I went to the baseball game tonight and the players were not equipped? They ran out onto the field and none of them had gloves on. How would they handle the screaming line drive coming at them, or that grounder that takes the nasty bounce? Like, what's the shortstop going to do with that without a glove? And even if he could somehow barehand that and he's going to throw it over to first base, what's the first baseman going to do? He doesn't have a glove either. Can you imagine how brave you would need to be squatting behind the plate without a chest protector on or those shin pads or a helmet? And if the batter stepped into the box without a bat, how'd he get on base? They need to have the right equipment. They need to be equipped. And you have been equipped by Christ with exactly the right equipment so that you can carry out works of service to the body of Christ. And as we grow together, we can help one another to discover our gifts. We can help to equip one another well. And so in humility, I encourage you to seek to understand your gifts. Ask your fellow believers. Take a spiritual gifts inventory. Think through your passions and your desires, the ways that you love to serve. Consider yourself with humility in your own abilities, but confidence and joy in the blessings that Christ does give to you. And so maybe you have gifts in children's ministry, or hospitality, or welcoming, or invitation, or evangelism, or service, or empathy, or organization, or leadership, or decisiveness, or a whole host of other things that you might be gifted to do, and you might be gifted in order that you can serve the body of Christ and build up the church. Whatever your gifts are, there's no need for jealousy as you look at the gifts of others, because Christ is the one who has measured out his gifts to you. And your gifts will build the body of Christ. That's what Paul says. As we get to the end of this section, he says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, from Christ, the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." We all are going to serve in different roles and in different ways. But all of that service is important. If there was no shortstop, there'd be a massive gap in the infield. The hitters could hit through it every single time. If there's no pitcher, it'd be a boring game. If there's no left fielder, then there'd be no one to make that diving catch or jump up over the wall and steal the home run. In baseball, every single position is important. And in Christian church, in the body of Christ, every position is important. Every role is important. Every act of service is important. And our roles, they can be very different, but they can be beautifully different, precisely so that we can actively build up the body of Christ and grow in this great hope that we have in Jesus. So, dear friends, for me, to watch a baseball game, that's a beautiful thing. But there's an even more beautiful thing to watch and to see. And not only do we get to watch it and see it, but we actually get to be a part of it. We get to be on the field. We get to be in the game together with one another. It's a beautiful thing to see the body of Christ working together. It's a beautiful thing to be among the redeemed, the chosen, the forgiven, the equipped in Christ. And to work together, growing in that unity of spirit until we all reach maturity. It's an amazing thing to see. It's an even more amazing thing to be a part of. Amen?